First Corinthians 12, that was where we were yesterday night. We want to look at lessons, this workers meeting, so lessons from the lunchbox. Amen. Have you ever had the lunchbox before? First Corinthians 12. So every year we take lessons from characters in the scriptures. And we want to do that again today. In verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so is Christ. For as by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And in the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where then is your hearing? If the whole body were hearing, then where will you smell from? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased them. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? But now, there are many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Amen. So we already explored yesterday night. We looked at we are one body. And we explored the fact that every part of the body is the body. Right? There is no useless part of the body. And God made it that way. And we said, we all are not the same. If we are the same, we will never be useful. There are things you can do that I can't do. There are things I can do, you can't do. God made it that way. He placed in each and every one of us different melodies. So that when we come together, it makes up a good sound. Never think what you bring is useless. You are a part of the body of Christ. He said, you have to look at the body of Christ. Of course, firstly from the global view, we are all members of the body of Christ globally. Everywhere the name of Jesus is heralded, everywhere the gospel is preached, taught, and followed, is the body of Christ. And we now have local parts of that body, where we call the, what we call the local church. It's the body of Christ, but in our geography. In the next 10, 20 years, everyone here, not everyone here will be based in Nigeria, for example, or even Africa. That is the truth. Humans are migratory in nature. It is the truth. Oh, there are people who don't like to migrate, and that's fine. But yeah, they still go somewhere, and they still, you know. I have a friend who said she's not going anywhere. So last time I saw her in China, I said, what is it? I went for holiday. I said, you have gone somewhere. but you told me you're not going anywhere. Said, I'm not going. And she meant she's not traveling anywhere. She's not relocating. That's what she meant. But she has gone to, in the last 1 year, she's been to China. She's been to the US. She's been to UK. Like 5 countries. Every time I just say, humans are migrating. This is normal. But for everywhere you find yourself in the world, we thank God for the spread of the gospel. There is a body of Christ. That's why we keep praying for missionaries and people who are in very, very dear situations so that the gospel can spread on every blade of grass in the world. And we say amen to that.
Amen.
So, you are a part of the body of Christ. And we are all not the same. We can't be the same. If we are the same, we have lost function. I said, imagine your entire body is just one big nose. Amen. One big nose. He said, that's his start to be coming. He said, why this your eye? You can't see it. That nose that is coming. You know, and the nose is just bouncing. No legs. Just bouncing. That doesn't look good, yeah? Amen? It looks like a demon. One big eyes. Say, welcome to, what was that cult that they were seeing that time? I said all the celebrities were part of it. Illuminati. Welcome to Illuminati. You just see one eyes. Imagine his eyes that is preaching to you. You know you can't sleep. The eyes will see you. Amen. Because his eyes all true. If I back you, his eyes. If I face you, his eyes. Amen. Or a football team. And all of them are strikers. No keeper. Everybody say, I want to score. I know Chelsea, they used to do, all of them are defenders. They don't just park the bus. They turn it to a garage. It's no longer like that. Chelsea is doing well now. Amen. Yeah, it's a good football club. They won trophies. I want to change my style. Maybe if I don't cost them. For the next 1 year, I won't. See, if Arsenal does not carry trophy, I will come in double dose. I want to see if I don't cost them, what will happen to Arsenal? It looks like this costing them and berating them is not working. So Chelsea, very great football club. They've won everything. They've won it all. Amen. Feel free to support them. We are all together. Amen. But imagine a football club and everybody says, 11 people, you're meant to have the keeper, then about 3 or 4 defenders, in some cases 5 defenders, and then you have the midfielders, and then you have the attackers, right? The attackers are meant to score with the help of the midfielders. The defenders are meant to defend. Then everybody says, no, I want to score. Say, are you to keeper? Yeah, I'm not doing keeper today. So everybody, they leave the post empty. And they are all waiting for the ball. Who will give you the ball? Who is going to supply you the ball to score? So no matter how many goal scorers are in that team, they will lose. They've lost before the ball for the first kick. You won't lose.
Amen.
So it means we all have to take different roles. Imagine you playing basketball. Everybody wants to be the quarterback. In this family, we're not very familiar with basketball. Just learn the rules first. That's why you have gone to a good school. Not as Saudi grammar school. Brother David. That's a school. I always wonder. Okay, any other person that attended it here? Cast them now. Cast them now. Don't be alone. All right. So, you know. So again, we all have our role to play in the body. So we say you have to be body conscious, right? That is, where am I? What am I feeling in the body? In God's kingdom, what is my role? You know, in the world, we were trained to say you can be anything you want to become. And naturally speaking, of course, that's true. If today you decide that you want to become a pilot, you just have to go to aviation school, right? You want to become a lawyer, you have to apply as an undergraduate into faculty of law. And then when you're done, you go to law school, you have your LLB. You can be anything you want to become. But in the kingdom of God, you can't just be anything. You'll have become demon or Satan. Because God has framed different parts. We read the other time, Ephesians 4, where it said, every joint now supplies. Because we are fitly framed into one body. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, this one is not about feelings. In the world, it's, if I feel like it. For example, I knew more of mathematics and physics. I understood more of mathematics and physics than medical sciences, really. But, I just felt like, nah. What's the point? No, I want to be speaking big grammar. You know, when someone tells you, sphenocleidomastoid muscle. I say, hey, Chineke. I just mentioned one artery. You say, yeah, in my body. I wanted to bamboozle people. Why would I not be able to? So the first test we had in the same anatomy, I failed. I think I had 46 over 150 or something. Yeah, I don't want to bamboozle people anymore. I'm going to study music. Semi-quiver. Otto. Semi-demi-demi-demi-demi-demi-quiver. Amen. And I just felt I could be anything I wanted to be. Today, if you decide here that after this meeting fast, what I just want to be doing is POS, agency banking. I just want to, in fact, that's my calling now. You can be it. That's a banker, agency. Amen. If you decide that you want to be doing vulcanizer, you literally can go to your place of work, put up a resignation letter and say, I'm no longer working in this bank. Say why? I've made up my mind. I can be anything I want to be. I want to be a swimmer. But in the kingdom of God, you don't just wake up in the morning and say, today I just want to be a pastor. I want to give me a little love. Me a bunk or come on. Me a fema listen. Me a fema speak. No. He puts you in the body as it pleases him. Are you there? So, I need to know my role. And he gives you grace for that role. In Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Say gift of Christ. Say gift of Christ. Meaning, Christ is the measure. Not according to the measure of the gift of Toyosi. So that means whatever Toyosi can achieve. No. Christ is the one that gives it. Amen. In Romans 12, places you in the body so that you can work out his will. Romans 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt with every man the measure of faith. Or a measure of the faith. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we said, there is no small assignment in the body. Don't forget where we stopped reading that 1 Corinthians 12 from. He said, there is no feeble member. Say with me, there is no feeble member. Say there is no weak member. There is none. I told you, how someone who brings the key late can affect the entire chain. Oh, all I did was I forgot to buy the fuel, the diesel that we used to power the generator. I just delayed. It's not like I did not eventually buy it. I bought it, but just 10 minutes late. 10 minutes late means the pastor might not be able to teach everything he wants to teach. Then someone who will watch online, not even someone who is there yet, someone who will watch online, who will take it, and maybe he's a missionary, and bring that word of hope to another person. See how just you not buying diesel early enough can affect everybody. Can affect people that are not in your continent. So no assignment is small. You're not small. Never see what you're doing for the Lord as insignificant, inconsequential. It doesn't really matter like that. It's not like I'm the pastor. And that's why people take some decisions and then I laugh at it. Oftentimes I always ask, what if you were the pastor? Why were you not around last service? I went somewhere, so I left there late. The way sisters can. Before we left there, am I getting it? He said yes. Before we left there, you know, so I just said, it's already late. Durr. Purr. He gets, sir. So I just said, it was already late. Then I asked, what if you were the pastor? I remember there was a time, don't you remember? We were still at ballet. We had a church service on Sunday morning. I had an accident. Remember? Some of you don't know the story. I was on bike. Thank God they banned back now. That's fine. I was on bike. The guy, I knew that the guy had another life somewhere.
He had life at home. So I'm like, the way it was running, I'm the one going to church. Don't run. Calm down. Zoom. So I had to, at some point I had to hold him. And eventually we fell in the gutter. Because we hit a car. And it was horrible. On a Sunday morning, I was all dressed with my waistcoat. And that was the last day I wore waistcoat and tie. I looked like a trash bag. Maybe you just wore one piece of clothes, just remove it. I walked back, I wore waistcoat. And the service had started. I had to first, they had to first go stitch up. And then, I still made service. Just like they were praying. You know this kind of prayer that doesn't have end. I forgot who was taking prayer that day. It was Ogechi or something. As I entered the compound, the way we're using, I just started laughing. I'm letting my prayer pray back. I'm going to pray, Lord. Rupert said to her, I said that the door, let me even see they will pray for pastor, because pastor just went through a lot. You know? Another person will see that home. When they ask you, say, as I was coming to church, I had an accident, a bike accident. They just look at you and say, oh, hey, yeah, sorry. But what if you are the pastor? But you feel you don't contribute enough to be missing. Or to be missed, rather. So the next time you want to give an excuse, maybe you had a caveat and say, what if I was the pastor? Would this really be a good excuse to say why I was not available to teach you? I had a bad day. I had a bad day at the office. My boss was shouting at me. That's why he did not come for service. When I was still working for people, for someone, for government, you know, and I was working in Loot. You know how many bad days? There's no way you walk in Loot, you don't have a bad day. Very likely, almost every day. If you have walked in Loot, you know what I'm talking about. If patient does not stress you, another person from your own colleagues will stress you. If your colleague doesn't stress you, from someone from another department on ward round, we say one nonsense. Or talk somehow, and then if that one doesn't happen, patient relative. Someone has come to meet me and say, blush girl, this lolly now. Maybe more funny. It's not my department though. Patient relative. So I'm not the one in charge of that. And he was dragging me. I should come and talk to the nurse. Come and talk to the nurse. Say, leave me alone. It's because I used to greet you. Do you know how many times I had to iron this clothes? You know, so bad days. Your superiors at work, consultants. Those consultants feel like they've gotten everything in life, man. Just gone. And what else? So I praise this condition. How would they praise disease? And I just give you. What I mean, what I'm saying is, talk to me. And if you're lucky to be with someone like Baba, you just left there. I mean, that's not impressive yet. I've said everything in my head. I'm even reading from Wikipedia. I'm even reading from Physiopedia or something. Or Mayo Clinic. It's not impressive. Give me the psychomotor, psychosocial, you mentioned like three things. I can't forget. Psychomotor, psychosocial, and clinical of stroke rehabilitation. I said, stroke. They just can't walk. So bad days. And after the bad day, you pick up your Bible and you come to church. That cannot be an excuse. But when you feel like what I'm offering is not really important, it's not germane, it's not, doesn't hold weight. You feel, I can stab it. But this is Paul telling you, no member is useless. No part is small. See, what I offer is not small. I treat it with honor. Come on. I treat it with honor. What God has placed in my hands. I don't take it as common. I treat it as sacred. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So that wants us to, because of that, because you can look at yourself as small. As little. So I want to share lesson from the lunchbox. Amen. John chapter 6. So I just started in Samuel. And Anna. You know the story of John 6. Verse 4. The Passover of the feast of the Jews was near. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, because he had been teaching them, said, where can we buy bread that these people can eat? And I feel some people already are thinking about that right now. Amen. Say, Pastor, if you actually have compassion, the way Jesus having compassion, after this session, we need John 6. Amen. And John 6 will happen. Amen.
Amen.
I think bad will have to roof. He just said, where can we buy bread to eat? And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he was going to do. Look at that. He knew what he wanted to do. So that means he wanted to bring up a lesson. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread, a denarii of bread, is not sufficient for them, that even every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, so Andrew had a name. If they even mentioned Peter, Philip had been mentioned. There is a lad here. No name. There is a boy here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Say small fishes. Small. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. The rest is history. Amen. The rest is literally history. So a boy had his lunch. Just seafood and bread. Amen. And he brought it to the crusade that, after word though, that's his time, you see, we will use something to push word down. Amen. Word, laventy word. Bread, laventy bread of life. Amen. My own brother like that. He said in one of the retreats we had, not Bureau of Church. It was not that night. He said, bread, laventy bread. So I said, what does that mean? He said, emoji. Are you a teacher of Israel and I'm explaining these things to you? I said, what do you mean? He said, bread, laventy bread of life. And I said, He said, is that why you brought let me say that in English. A loaf of bread. He squeezed it in the pocket. So while we're praying and all that, he was just taking. So I said, someone already reported you. He said, hey now, bread, laughing tea, bread. People deal. The boy had 5 loaves. And it shows that the gospel is sometimes about the small things from unexpected sources. Look at the genesis of the gospel itself. Look at the incarnation. Jesus was born in a manger, not a palace. That's instructive. It's the small things. He was a carpenter's son, not the prime minister. Bethlehem, not Rome. By the way, we're going to talk a bit about Rome tonight. Hallelujah. I'm cooking something. He was born in Bethlehem, not Rome. Rome expanded its kingdom till Africa. I'll show you the history of the Roman Empire. It reached Sudan. It was a big empire. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a little town. He was born in the manger. To a carpenter. But yet, God works with the little things of this world. That boy surrendered 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that fed thousands. What if he had said, it's mine? And he runs away. He just runs into the crowd. How will Andrew find him? Among 5,000 men. The women and children excluded. Before you can say, where's that boy with the fish? Has finished eating it. Amen. But while Philip and others were calculating, okay, even if we buy, the boy just gave it. Small fish. Look at that verse, excuse me.
verse 9 again. There is a small boy here. There's a lad here. Who has 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What a statement. And sometimes that's the way some of us reason our service and our contribution to God and to His church. Our offering. What are they? What am I doing among? So when they say we are praying for pastor, if you really, what do I want to say? What do I want to say? That brother is not praying. Is that not the only I'm seeing praying? Is that not the time, see? I want to break the wall. You already praying. Kimo verso. That's the way we see it sometimes. But there's a lesson here. That God can use the small to bless the many. God can use the little things. Like He used Moses. In Exodus 4 verse 2. He asked Moses, what is in your hand? Sometimes we don't appreciate what we have. We don't know what it can do. God said to Moses, Moses was by the sea. This is the sea. This is Pharaoh. How are we going to get across? God said, what is in your hand? David said, Moses, is it that useful? Stretch it. Your eyes begin to open. Amen. To the deposit of God's goodness in you. Amen. What is in your hand? This small fish. What are they among so many? But the boy modeled the kingdom of God to us. That God sees and uses the hidden and the unnamed things. See, today we don't know his name. There's a small boy here. The overlooked. Paul says, there is no feeble part. Just like that woman with the alabaster box in Mark 14. Obscurity, not being known, is not a barrier to legacy in God's kingdom. He fed nations with his lunch. Who would have believed? I mean, it's his lunch. Doesn't really matter. Just lunch. But he fed nations with his lunch. And Jesus, there were 12 baskets left. And I felt, Jesus and I gave the 12 baskets to each of the disciples. I felt that was a quiet rebuke. Take home the result of what you thought was useless. You carry it along with you. A reminder that there is no small thing. That there is no small work. If all you do, what I just do is to wash toilet. There is no small assignment. Is as serious as what the pastor is doing. I stay at that staircase side, pastor, and I tell people, welcome to church. Please go upstairs. That's what I do. I'm not the one preaching, no. I'm not the one laying hands, so. There's no small assignment. It's not until you lay hands that you make impact. There's this testimony of, someone. He said he got to a church and, you know, he wanted to take his life. Like, take his life. So his life was already miserable, yeah. Was a jai boy. What do you call them? Upton boy, you know. Tall, dark, handsome, but life is already almost ruined. He's air plated, tattoo all over. Even the plated air, you know, there's different between plated air and weary. Where is madman? This one is not fashion again. He's already a mad. He doesn't have money to do it again. So he went to church. He saw somewhere. He said, his mind. He wanted to go and collect first timers. This is a story that happened in Lagos here. First timer. So he got there. He felt he had gone to like 2 other churches. The way they even looked at him, they chased him. May we not become that. Yeah. They chased him. Why? Because he was on tattoo. He's not a madman. You can literally see he's not a madman. His clothes are not torn. He's well dressed. Just the tattoo and the hair and everything. And the hair was because he was involved in drugs and all of those things. So he had gone to 2, they chased him. So he went to 1, he says like, even unnamed church. He just said, okay, let me just go here. They should be able to give me something, even if it's a bottle of Pepsi, like Glorious House Church. So when he entered, he was expecting the same response. Then 2 old women came and said, welcome to church. How are you?
So he wanted to stay at the back. He said, no, come and sit beside me. And they were fighting for him, who he will sit beside. So he felt, what's this? So he sat beside them. And after the service, they took him, gave him food. He had been hungry. Was eating, in his own story, was eating. When he was done, then I asked him, what's your favorite food? And he said something around, is it pie or something? So the two women said, elderly women said, next week, we are both going to bake the pie. You will tell us which one is sweeter. They want him to come back to church. So next week, you're going to tell us which one is sweeter. Between us and mine. You'll be the judge. Deal? The deal. So he went back. And he came back the next week. This time around, he has cut the hair. The visible tattoos, some of them are starting to fade. He's doing something about it. So the women saw him and said, what happened to your hair? I cut it. He said, we liked it. We liked you like that. That is the church. Amen. So you did not have to be the pastor to change that life. To make an impression of what God's kingdom is. You didn't have to be the one preaching. Just, welcome to church. How are you doing today? Do you have a Bible? Okay. Let me get you one. You know, simple gestures. And after the service, how are you doing? That's for guest ministries. MCC and Ola and Co. Say, now we can't do it. If you notice something, why not? I saw you during the service. You were looking a bit lost. I didn't really understand much of, but I was able to learn one or two. Okay, don't worry. Just encouragement. He uses the little things. Tonight we also see how the devil also uses the little things. But God uses the little things. Amen. He fed nations with his lunch. He gave something small and ended up participating in something historic. What he did teaches us about stewardship of the seeming ordinary. You must be a good steward of ordinary things. If your role is to just welcome people, welcome people like that's what get them saved. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do it. Do it so much that God will say, I wish you change. Change the gospel to welcoming people. You must do it with your heart. You must see it as an honor. Oh, mine is to arrange chairs, pastor. Arrange it. See, arrange it. Look at it again and say, okay, this one is too close to each other. I've seen someone take tape measure to be measuring the space between chairs. If you see service, you will wonder if you are saved. Do you know the space between each row? He wanted it equal. I saw it from afar. So I stood and said, what's this? And he said, between each chair, he will put his hand. And he wanted it equal. I wanted to go and ask him, but you know I'm shy. I wanted to go to him and ask. I'm actually shy. I'm very shy. Some of you don't know. Amen. I am. Ask my wife. But shall I, am I not? Sorrow, can you juicy pass it by me? And I wanted to go ask him, but I didn't. I was there, stuck. You might be seeing the pastor, but God sees him too. Like this boy. Unnamed. Unrecognized. But God sees it. Your labor will not be in vain. Yeah. In your unit, be a good steward of the ordinary. Be known for doing things properly. When you find yourself with any opportunity to do something for God, do it with your chest. Do it with your heart. At work. Let's take this one beyond church. At work. So we do eye service. Psycho fancy. You're working fast. That you can say you're busy. You're talking nonsense. Anytime you see the boss, why not just do your work? How difficult is it? You applied now. I say you can work under pressure. Now walk. Did you not say you can walk under pressure? Amen. I said you can speak French. Languages. English, French. Now, it's time to speak French. Amen. The boy was not a priest. Was not a rabbi. Was not even part of the disciples. But he was available. Lessons from the lunch box. He was available. Are you available? They say the first ability is availability. That's what God seeks. Unit meeting, they will not see you. Cell meeting, they will not see you. What exactly is the issue? And he said, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. He's finding you. He's finding you. Put on your GPS. So I can find you to use. Amen. Say, I'm available. For God to use. For the glory of God. I'm available. To be used. To change lives. And influence men. To help people. I'm available. To be a source of comfort. To many. To many. Thank you. He was available. Your availability is an asset to God. Oh, you might think, it's just a lunchbox. 5 loaves. What will he do? What will he do? When I was on campus, you know, the way I used to carry myself, I didn't have money. I still don't have much. But the way I carry myself, you can't call me an hungry man. Panache, poor. Arrogance and swagger. Amen. Courage, proper courage of a man of God. I had it. Oh, there was a week like that, I didn't have anything. I just given all that was in my account for a meeting. Yeah. Because I had to give as a pastor to a project like that. And I trusted God that God was going to meet my needs. And he did. I must have shared the story before. And one sister brought a four with the four to the fellowship. In a very nice cooler. You know when you're hungry, every cooler is nice. I said, I don't take food. I don't take these things. Oh, I was already smelling it from the package. I don't take these things. He said, God asked me to cook it and give it to you, sir. Ah. That is true. I didn't tell her it's true. I said, alright, no problem. Let me give it to, Sister Winner. Oh, okay. Ah, my heart leapt for joy. I had not eaten in over a day, probably 2 days. I don't beg. Amen. I was not taught. I don't know how to. I think if you don't have, you should ask. Amen. I was looking for a way to ask. I don't know how to ask. And because I take fast a lot, roommate just thought he was taking fast. Oh, mommy, take fast. He love me now. Just say, come and eat and see if I'm taking it fast. And I thought to myself, that sister's gesture, it's over a decade. It's about a decade. And I've still not forgotten. In the next 20 years, I will not forget. She might felt it's small. She just took part of her soup. Because I'm very sure she will eat it that night too. Just took part of her soup. But that was much. What you call small is a miracle to another person. So never ask, never say, oh, it's just 5 loaves and small fishes. No. Steward the ordinary better. Say, Pastor, it's just a call. What will a call do in the life of someone? The person is going through a lot. Yeah. What he needs is money. I'm giving him a call. Give that call. Do that checkup. You have people in your cell that you don't even know where they stay. Shame. You feel it's nothing much. Every time we have a new member, it's our collective duty to integrate them to the church. It's not the cell, it's not the discipler, it is our collective duty to ensure that the person feels at home. Then we have all failed if we don't. Those in first timers, they know, I come there, don't I? How come? I say, sorry, what's your name? I want to meet. It's not, I'm the pastor now. The first time I meet you, will do their own. And then when they are done, they will integrate, they will do membership class. Then that. No. You go there. You don't know how much impact that can make. Someone is a new member. You are snatching seat. So I came here first now. Are you blind? Can't you see that this? So you are funny. Camera, make me the compost. Show you, baby. Can't you see that this person is just coming? Some even, you even eat the person on the road. Sorry. You have not seen his face before. There's a responsibility on you to say, sorry, it looks like I'm just seeing you for the first time. Yeah. Yes. But I came last week. Oh, sorry, I don't know. What's the name? What's your name? My name is Lydie. Oh, Lydie. Oh, wow, that's nice. We invited you to church. Sister Tosi. Oh, which Sister Tosi? Okay. It's good to see you. Now you're my friend. Simple thing, even if you not be friend later. Amen. Simple gestures. You can't say you are a part of this body and you are working against the body. What you call small, what you call insignificant. I said it before. There should not be any member. Not worker is what we regard as member here. In our own parlance, because all he did was membership class. So this is workers in training. Amen. In fact, this is workers in training convention, not workers. Because you're not like workers, you are always in training. Amen. I learned that a few years ago. You can't be a worker in training and not be a monthly regular giver in the church. I'm saying it again. Regular, not when there's a special meeting, you now remember. They'll not tell you, come and say, everybody we are giving. Mm-mm. Regular. That means every month there's something you set aside for the church. Here we don't take tithe. Have you ever heard us say, your tithe for the month of May? If we take tithe, who have more than this? I'm very sure. There are high earners here. Amen. That's some of you earning millions. I say, hey, Nishoshi, enjoy. Point. Make a skibby. Just say one body. Somewhere in hundreds of thousands. So if you are taking tithe, at least every month, it should be running into millions. But we don't. Meaning, what we run on is what we all collectively, cheerfully give. How then do you now do that sparingly? It ought not to be so. You say, but pastor, is little, it's just 50k. It's not little. I say, pastor, 50k, I give you 50k, my dear Danny. What I have is 2k every month. No negotiation. What is your subsidy? That little will go a long way. Never call what God has placed in your heart little. Just that checking up on his sister. Learn to do it. I don't have much time on my hands. I actually don't. But there is none of you that can say that I have probably not sent someone. If I don't see you, I will send someone to you. I will. Help me go and meet brother so. Why was he not around? Help me call sister so. Remember some time ago, someone said, pastor, don't check up on anybody and all of that. it's only Broshola that I said, go and ask Shola. Who asked him to call you? This, after the last session, I still had some names I penned down on my back check up. It's not insignificant. Sometimes that is what can keep someone going. The fact that you know that someone will call me. Someone will send me a text. And I don't want to be receiving that kind of text. And it also can encourage. Such that when you are now up, you also now remember to do it for others. Amen. So there is no small gesture play for me as I close. A visit, a word of prayer. It's one body. There is nothing too small. While you're praying in your day, you know, just remember someone. You say, okay, I want to pray for sister. No? That the glory of God overwhelms her. I want to pray about faith. You know, just simple, simple things. What the world we call ordinary. Jesus died on the cross. Ordinary. That's why Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 1, they call it foolishness. The death of the cross. That's what says the world. That's a criminal's death. Ordinary. Seeming little. But of eternal significance. What you do in your knees is not ordinary. It will never be. It's God putting you in your place in Christ. And you in your corner, contributing what you can to the spread of the gospel. Whatever you do, we contribute to what we call our service. Right? So when we say we had Sunday service, it's because we had protocols in place. It's because we had the media team in place. It's because we had the music team in place. We had those who set up chairs. We had those who help us with the facility. Right? We had those who put on the generator. We had those who set the sound. Those who are in charge of opening the hall for us to use. You know, everything comes together and we say we had a Sunday service. And because of that Sunday service, many can now listen online and listen all around the world and be blessed. You are a part of that. So it's not just window in man clean. If you don't clean the windows, there'll be dust. If there's dust, the person that's meant to preach can catch a cold and stuffy nose, and then the message is not clear. And I'm just thinking different things that could happen. It's never just. It's never just. It's never just small. It's not small. It's just a donation. Pastor, it's not really. Do it. Do it. It's not small. Pastor, what I'm doing, what I want to do is that when I now start working very well, like that person said that it's earning millions now. When I now start earning my own millions, Pastor, I'll give you half. I say, Ayimu. Yimu is not a Greek word. You can't give half. Every month. If that's not what you have been doing. If you're earning 20,000 naira per month, that's ridiculous. God will help you. But I'm just giving that as an example. And you cannot set out something out of that. When you earn 20 million naira per month, you will not set anything out. Jesus said, the greater is recognized in the lesser. He said, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Jesus not said, we be faithful in much. He said, he is faithful. That is, it is not the quantity. It is the act. That's the story of the widow's mite. She gave it from her heart. He just said, all these ones have donated millions. They didn't donate as much as this woman. The world might call it small, insignificant, negligible. But God is saying, that's your contribution to the body. The heart might be the one pumping all the blood. And the brain sending all the signals. The spinal cord working actively. The nerve endings distributing it. The leg is working. Everybody's seeing the leg. But there are parts that look insignificant. Like your pancreas. Have you ever thought of your pancreas? Like your spleen. Like your small intestine. It's even called small. But take it away. You will see men. They are parts unnamed, unrecognized, but they contribute to the health of the whole body. Never see your contribution as small. Never. Jesus, I know it's not much, but you can have it. God, teach us how to give like this boy. To trust you with what seems small. Let our lives become bread in your hands. For a world that is starving for hope. Help us to never see our role as insignificant. open our eyes to see as you see. So that we can be blessings to your body. Can we pray for ourselves this evening? Help us to be a blessing to the world from this corner. To stand in our place in the body of Christ. To stand in our office. As called of God. As bold, as strong. As yielding. To always be givers. Even when it seems it's just a lunchbox. 5 loaves. 2 fishes. Jesus, use it for your glory. My time is yours. And my skill is yours. And my money is yours. And my life is yours. I'll never see it as small. I'll never see it as insignificant. I'll never see it as, you know, not worth it. I'll always contribute. To your kingdom, to your body. Henceforth, I'm a blessing. To the body of Christ. I'm a reason why the work is progressing. Yeah. And resources are bound towards me. To do more. For your glory and for your name. And for the nations of the earth. The gospel sometimes is in a lunchbox. And sometimes it's in a donation. But each and every one of us in our corners are going to herald his name with whatever we have got. Help me, Lord Jesus, to not always be self-centered. But always see it as a collective work. What you have all called us to do together. I won't see my assignment as small. I want to see it as small. Walk on my heart. Use me. Use my resources. Use my family.